Welcome in, Adam Munster Tiger, joined with Phil by Philip Dukes, who is done a great job with his YouTube channel, really chronicling the Colorado Buffaloes. And you had Nate Mitchell's parents on last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, man. A really cool interview with Nate Mitchell's pops, coach Jeremy Mitchell, and his bonus mom, and really cool family. And they had some really interesting things to say about how they view Colorado from a parent perspective, which I think people should probably go hear that when they get a second, especially Buffs fans.
Well, we know he's going to be a stud, and they got some studs coming through from the prep ranks this weekend, Dukes. It sounds about 12 visitors right now. Now, I will say this and put this out there that with that many kids, there's usually some changes, maybe additions, subtractions. It's pretty fluid until you get to the end of Friday because, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong, especially traveling. So we'll keep our ears to the ground, but we're recording this midday on Wednesday, so this is kind of the feel we have. Dukes, there's more buzz, I would say, or more reasons to be excited about Colorado prep recruiting, but there's also some apathy from the fan base just because of the NIL era and
Right.
wondering, will these guys be around?
Right. I mean, it's tough, right? It's basically the Wild Wild West. Rules are being put in place. It's almost like we're building the plane in the air right now when it comes to this landscape. Colorado has done a good job, I think, of changing their focus. And you should know this too, as far as years prior, I don't think there was as heavy of a premium placed upon high school recruiting and the way that they're going about it. And I think, if anything, I like the amount of official visitors that you're having on campus at once, but even more so, it's the fact that you're starting relationships earlier. So you've got this is I since I've been noticing Colorado over the past 3 to 4 years, this is the most sophomores that have been offered or rising juniors. Haven't seen this from a Colorado staff, and I've even talked to guys on staff and say, hey, we're focused on this right now. We're focused on this right now. They're casting a wide net. And I think that it's basically, I mean, it's like the law of averages. The more people you go after, the more people you make contact with, the more opportunities you have to be successful. And I think that with Colorado taking that approach, especially with the official visits, I mean, this is a huge weekend. This is the, I would, I mean, in the Big 12, this is the premier recruiting weekend as far as official visits. I'd say when you look at the amount of star power and just sheer volume, I think this is a huge weekend, and it's exciting to see. And I hope Colorado fans are excited, because it's a really unique situation in Colorado. Because one, there is star power with the head man. Two, there is a very unique amount of media attention and focus. And there are some intangibles that come along with Colorado when it comes to the football field that you just can't get in other places. If you can sell guys on that, then maybe you can negate some of the NIL impact in this crazy, crazy world.
And they will be battling NIL budget-wise for some of these guys. Dukes, we're going to go down the list and talk briefly about each of these guys that are expected to be in Boulder this weekend. We're going to start with my favorite junior reel of any CU target so far in this 27th cycle, Khalil Taylor. He's a stud, man. There's a reason he's ranked 81st nationally. Consensus four-star recruit, number 14 among receivers in the class. That still feels low to me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, so the first thing I look at when I think about guys who are ranked high and at these skill positions is, do they have verified times? When I was working at On Three or Rivals, or I was working at 247, when I would talk to guys in the rankings departments, it's like, all right, how big is he? How fast is he? Right. So when you got a guy who I think now has a, I think his best time in 100 is an 11 flat. I believe he has a 10.9, a 10.8 in him, maybe even faster. That's what I look at first. But then you see a guy with football speed that shows up. So when I see a football fast guy who has verified speeds, that's dangerous for me. That's dangerous for an opposing defensive coordinator, because you cannot teach speed. What he allows people, what he makes defenses to do, or what he allows a defense or offensive coordinator to do, is to take a safety out of the box, because his presence is demanding that along with his speed. And once he catches the ball, he becomes a running back. I think he's able to run with agility. He's able to run with vision, and he's able to run with power when needed. So I think this is a guy who has strong hands, a really handsy catcher. Going to be interested to see if Coach Marion, with his with his status as being a, I don't know if you call it a Pittsburghian, or
He claims it. He does claim it. Yeah.
So from being from that area, I think having these ties, I'm noticing that. And I know you had the addition with in the recruiting department as well, that's familiar in the area. But I think being able to have that relationship with Coach Marion could bode well for the Buffs here. But this is, if I'm not mistaken, is he not the highest rated guy that will be visiting so far?
Based on the Rivals industry ranking, yeah.
Yeah, so a ton to be excited about, and I think he has some Omarion Miller to him, in my opinion. Whereas he has the ability to really, there's a level of explosion from his hips that you get that I saw out of O that I thought was really good, and I thought a lot, and it turned a lot of teams on when you saw that he was able to create this type of torque, this type of force out of his hips, where it didn't look like he was moving fast, but it was explosive. I think you get the same thing out of this recruit, and I think he's going to be a joy to watch wherever he goes. Hopefully, it's in black and gold.
Yeah, there's competition there. Taylor was actually verbally committed to Penn State last March when James Franklin got fired. He backed off that pledge. Nittany Lions are still in the mix. He plans to take an OV there next weekend after visiting the Buffs this weekend. And then he's got three more visits scheduled after that. Georgia on May 29th, Nebraska on June 12th, and Alabama on June 19th. What the versatility thing here. I'm not big into high school stats. I think that's obviously something that if you've been around the game covering it long enough, you realize you got to take it with a big grain of salt. But this past season, his junior year, Khalil Taylor had a 10-yard average in his rushing attempts. He had a 17.3 yards per catch average and 17 touchdowns on 33 touchdowns. So he's basically scoring every other time he catches the pass. 362 yards on just seven kickoff returns. That's an average of 51.7. 19.4 punt return average on 21 punts. It's a pretty good sample size there. He punted the ball five times with an average of 40 yards. And defensively, he played situationally and didn't play a ton, but he still had three picks, four passes defended, 22 tackles, and a sack for good measure. I mean, that's even at the high school level, that's hard to do.
When you're a plus athlete, and I say this all the time, you got to look like it. So if you're a four-star guy that ends up, and oh, well, I was once ranked a four-star, you think you're a four-star, but you end up going G5. You got to look G5. You got to look like a four-star playing at G5. And I think that's what Taylor is really doing. He looks the part. And then I think, and I'm going to go back to the verified time. When you see those type of stats, the first thing they say is, who are you playing? And, oh, okay, well, he wouldn't do that in Georgia, or he wouldn't do that in Texas. Okay, well, if you take his speed and you put it up against everybody else's, how many 11 flats are you seeing in that top 80, in that top 100? You're starting to notice there's a trend. He has verifiable speed, he has good size, and it's showing up on film. You can verify what you see on the film. Like, hey, look, if the track times aren't that great in the Pennsylvania area, then he's running away from people because he's literally that fast. And I think that's one of the things that you see on his film is when he gets that step, it's Pyrum. Like, it's almost like he got like a little jetpack on his hips. He's
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
he's just taking off at a different speed.
If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud. Triple double Crunchwrap and Zab's nacho fries. When one layer isn't enough, we go bigger. Actually, at Taco Bell, they go triple. Introducing the Triple Double Crunchwrap, premium all white meat, marinated chicken seasoned with bold Mexican spices and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating and dusted with bold, flavorful Diablo spice seasoning, served with spicy ranch sauce as well. And because Taco Bell, they don't stop there. They're going to pair it with Zab's topped nacho fries, golden, crispy nacho fries, savory slow roasted chicken, warm nacho cheese sauce, freshly prepared pico de gallo, a creamy ranch that is infused with Zab's St. Augustine sauce, and a blend of mozzarella, pepper jack, and cheddar cheeses. This isn't just a meal, it's a full-on flavor experience. More layers, more flavor, more reasons to come back to Taco Bell again. Because, yeah, at Taco Bell, they don't do average, they do extra. Triple, double Crunchwrap and Zab's natural fries, only at Taco Bell. Live Mas.
Yeah, so that when the high school stats cannot be your only point of reference, and but when you're able to balance that with verified track times like he has, and it starts to measure out, that's why you see him being ranked so highly. And another thing is too, a coach told me, a really good recruiter told me a long time ago. He said, "Look, bro, it's not who you get, it's who you beat." Now, I'm not saying that's everybody who says that. But when you look at his official visit list and you see that he's that Georgia's after him, you see the SEC, you see the Penn State, powerhouse, you know, traditionally, was after him, and a really good, he was committed to a really good recruiter and James Franklin. Now you start to say, okay, this is one of those recruitments that can be a tone setter for the class. You get him in the class and you've already got a kid like Andre Adams, then you start to see some real momentum building for Colorado, where it's like, hey, look. Now we have proof of concept that says guys want to be here. There's something special. And don't let them go out here and win 8 or 9 games. It could get crazy.
Dewey Young is also coming out this weekend. He's from Kalamazoo, Michigan, currently ranked by Rivals as the 10th best interior offensive lineman in the 27 class. He actually already got in a visit, an OV to South Carolina. And you look at some of the other schools heavily involved in his recruitment, Michigan State, Ohio State, West Virginia. Obviously the Buffaloes didn't give up any sacks as a junior. Kind of helped him earn that four-star status. Doesn't appear to have the quickest feet in the world, but when Dewey Young gets on you, you're not going anywhere. He does a great job of locking on to edge rushers. The next guy, I know you like him like I like Khalil Taylor. Let's talk a little bit about Gabe Jenkins.
Man, how much time you got? Man, when you talk now, that's another guy playing in Pennsylvania who you look at the level of competition and you say, okay, is he playing plumbers or is he playing electricians? But no, man, he's playing a brand of football where he looks different. To see him play quarterback, to see him play receiver, to see him play running back, to see him play safety, linebacker, corner. You saw him all over the field and you saw that he has translatable skills to each position that he was put in. He's a joy to watch. That's my favorite film to watch because I saw the explosion, but then he's a contact guy. He will not he will hit you. He's great in coverage as well, has good hips, but he will uncoil those hips and he will hit you. And I think a lot of times when you see guys who are as explosive as he is offensively, you can see them be more of a finesse defensive player. He has a little bit of that Boo Carter to him where, yeah, I like the ball in my hands, but I will still knock you out of your socks. There were some plays where I saw him diagnosed early where you can see that him playing quarterback kind of helped him as far as being a quarterback of the defense in that safety role. So there's no doubt in my mind that if he said, you know what, I'm only playing receiver, or I'm only playing running back, if I'm only playing a skill position on offense, he would still get recruited at a high level. But the fact that he's saying, okay, you know what? I know my future may be at safety. I know that my traits, my backpedal ability, my ability to fly downhill and separate the ball carrier from the ball may give me an opportunity to play a little bit longer. I think it's smart on his behalf. And from everything that I've read, he's also a student of the game. So I think where you see a guy like Von Bell fall in love with a kid like this is he has the tools, he has the goods naturally, but I can also teach him. And he has the ability to read a defense and make calls. And if you look at the offense they were running, he was making his decision based on a formation. If a quarterback can do that, then imagine what they can do on the safety when it comes to play diagnosis and recognition. So I think he's a phenomenal prospect. I think it's going to be hard to get. I think Matt Campbell will be charging hard at Penn State. I think it's going to be hard to get him out of Pennsylvania, but I think the first step is getting him on the OV. So hopefully it works out.
And James Franklin's still recruiting him at Virginia Tech. He's going to take an OV
Yeah.
there. Like you said, Penn State and Pittsburgh still heavily involved there. You nailed it on the head. 6'1", 190. He's just an athlete.
Right.
I think safety is a good fit for him, but you watch all the different dynamics of his game. Like, he's going to get on the field somewhere and make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to say about Dewey Young too, man. You made a really good point about him as far as when he gets his hands on you. Because the way he's shaped, if he was a little more fleet of foot, he'd be an offensive tackle prospect easily, right? It's just, I won't call it cement, but it's just like the lower bend that he has with, and not the lower bend. I would say like the lack of the elite mobility in his lower half kind of prevents him from being that elite tackle prospect. But if you get in a pinch, he has enough experience that I think that you could teach him to be there. But man, I just want to say, when you talk about pancakes and putting somebody in the ground, that role grader, you would be happy to have a guy with that type of physique to be on the interior. So at 6'5", what you think he is, about 290?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, with room to grow, an 18-year-old, I mean, you could easily see him be a 6'4" and a half, 6'5" guy at 310 at when at, by his junior year. So I think it's important to get those type of guys in who can come in, help you now, but can also develop.
Tyler Alexander is coming out, a 6 foot three and a half, 315-pound defensive tackle from Palm Beach Central in East Florida. He's an A gap controller, not a guy that's going to put up a ton of stats, but he's going to set his teammates up to be able to make some plays. He's coming out to Boulder this weekend, of course, and then he's going to Georgia on June 5th and Texas June 19th. So tough competition here. Buffs continue to recruit Florida very hard.
Yeah, I would agree, and it kind of goes in line with those type of defensive linemen that you've seen Colorado be kind of successful with, when those interior guys who have may not have the elite athleticism, but can do they have enough that they can play games up front. So if you see this guy coming around on a stunt or a twist, then you say, okay, all right, I've got a problem if I don't if he beats my leverage. Those guys out of Florida, usually when we see those defensive tackles, they may not just be the biggest and the fastest, but they have a level of quickness. They all think they're basketball players, right? So they have the level, they have a level, an elite level of confidence and athletic ability that allows them that when you put them in a phone booth. Now, if I'm on a football field and I can run around them, okay, I feel confident. But man, I would hate to be in a phone booth with them, and I think that's that type of prospect.
Little Marcus Jones, whose nickname is Bug. I love an ironic nickname. 6'5", 300-pounder named Bug. One-time Ole Miss commit from Brentwood Academy in the Nashville area. Currently a four-star recruit. He's got other visits set up with Florida State, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Purdue in June before a long recruiting dead period ends. Still developing, even as a blue-chip recruit, but he's got the tools. You get a good college offensive line coach. He's got a lot of tools to work with there.
Yeah, and he's played a lot of different levels of competition. So he's played originally he was at Callaway in Georgia. Then he went to, I think he went home. I believe Mississippi is home. Then he went to Mississippi, then he goes back to Callaway, then he goes to Tennessee. I gotta do a little more research, but this is the third state that he's played high school football, and he's been successful wherever he's been. They say large human beings travel well, and I would say he's a large human being. He qualifies.
Unless it's on a plane, right?
You and a funny story. You ever get on a plane ride and you're like next to a very large human being?
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be the most comfortable in the world, but you're just sitting up here trying to, figure out how do I not just lean, take a nap on this guy's shoulder. And I
Yeah.
think that's one of those things where you see like LaMarcus Jones, wherever he's been, they call him Buck. He's been able to make room wherever he's been. So now he's playing in SEC territory. Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee. But what is the pull that gets a guy like this to go to Colorado? I think they're doing a great job because when you think about it, there aren't any other Big 12 teams in this list. There aren't any Big Ten, like these are the teams he's looking in the Southeast. But Colorado is doing a good job of getting guys and opening up their horizons and saying, hey, listen, man, come out here. It's something special out here. We're doing something that you probably haven't seen. We're doing it a different way. Come see it. And now my dad has this saying, if you keep going to the barbershop, eventually you'll get a haircut. So if you keep these guys coming out, coming out, coming out, coming out, eventually you're going to land one. They have a very high premium on getting a stalwart type offensive tackle in this class. There are some names that they've floated around that I've heard that I'm like, oh, you guys think you got a shot at this guy? When they mentioned LaMarcus the first time, I was like, nah, ain't no way. I didn't see official visit coming. But they kept working and they got the OV, so hopefully they can build on it.
There's a really talented edge prospect coming out that was for a while an Alabama pledge. Dukes, I know you know Barack Willis well, so I'll let you lead off here.
And Barack Willis has a lot of London merit in him. And what I mean by that is he was a guy who was ranked super high early on. They had him projected to be 6'5 or 6'4 because he matured early. But he didn't get the height, but he filled out in other ways. Athleticism, he's gotten stronger. He has a really, his frame is almost built like the Predator almost, where he has these long limbs that go along with the really well-shaped form. So he's a guy that can hit. He plays a lot of stand-up backer where he is now. He just transferred, I believe, but he played a lot of stand-up backer before. But when they put him down in the stance, or he comes rushes off the edge, he's a real problem. His closing ability is what I think makes him special. Now, you've got some guys that say, "Hey, he's an edge." Some people feel like you can get something from him as a stand-up backer. But the only reason that this kid is still a three-star is because he didn't get an inch or two based off of what people thought he was going to get, and he's not a traditional camper. He wants to put the pads on. I can honestly say the last kid that I saw with an evaluation like this that didn't camp at all was Colton Hood. Colton Hood could barely camp because of his baseball career, and everybody's like, oh, he's a three-star, three-star. But you can see what he had, and people that knew knew. Barack Willis is another guy that is one of those kind of if you know, you know type deals. From what I'm hearing, Georgia Tech is like, listen, we feel like he can be our guy. Damn the ranking. He's a guy that we feel like we could build a class around. So that's going to be really tough competition. Maybe the outcome or the performance in that game has something to do with how he leans. Formerly committed to Bama. So I think this is a guy who, if he had his way, he would stay in the Southeast, but I also believe that he wants somebody that believes in him because he has a chip on his shoulder the size of Stone Mountain. And he really wants to prove to people that I deserve the ranking that I'm who you guys thought I was early on. And I think he wants to prove that. So I think Colorado is the perfect proving ground for someone to come in and say, you know what, we can't do it. I'm gonna show you think we can't do it, I'm gonna show you we can. So I could see him being one of those type of guys who would be in that I want to quote unquote shock the world type mentality.
You also got a visit lined up with Miami, and you've got Auburn, Florida, Ole Miss, and USC in there. But yeah, Buffs, Georgia Tech, Miami looking pretty good in his recruitment. After watching his junior reel, Dukes, I wrote down, and this falls in line with what you're talking about with his closing speed, that he's an in control wrecking ball. Because he maintains his responsibility, kind of takes a second to diagnose, but when he determines his angle, that closing speed, like you said, I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a kid that could close that quickly on guys.
Sudden. That's like when I see NFL guys say sudden, when I read these scouting reports, that's he's sudden. That's what they mean. And sometimes we take like the simplest words and they have so much more meaning. He is the definition of sudden. When it's all of a sudden, as soon as he sees it, like you said, when he diagnoses, he makes a beeline. And I thought it was interesting that he had Mario Cristobal and Jason Taylor in his house from Miami, in his in an in-home, maybe not even a maybe 2 weeks ago. So this, I think people sometimes we get caught up in the stars. Oh, three star. Oh, low four star. No, dog. This guy's a priority for a lot of people, and he's also a huge priority for the Buffaloes.
Kyron Hayward is coming out, defensive lineman from Geyer High in Texas, 6'1", 260. Buffs have been targeting quite a few shorter interior offensive, I'm sorry, interior defensive linemen this year. Hayward does a good job of being able to diagnose the play as well. Kind of, there's that chaos in the trenches. He seems calm, like he sees through it. He doesn't get rattled, maintains his gaps, which is not something everybody can do. There's a reason there's guys that can't play inside linebacker because it's like being in the middle of traffic. So I think he's, as a defensive lineman, his ability to do that is pretty impressive. He's taken multiple unofficial visits to Kansas State, SMU, and Texas, and got an OV lined up with Kansas State for June 12th. What do you think? I like playing the leverage game. I think 6-1, you don't want to be, there are exceptions to the rule. You generally don't want to be below 6 foot, but I've always liked, the low man wins usually. So I like that.
I mean, like, you ever like ran into a fire hydrant? It hurts. Like, and that's kind of like what Colorado has went with the fire hydrant bill with some athleticism. When you look at the Santana Hoppers of the world, guys who have made their bones not being the biggest guy, not maybe he's not a guy that you want to use the long arm technique with. But I do think that when Colorado uses this, they're attacking and they're swarming defense when they. Even in when we watched the Well Off in the pregame network and the Reach the People videos from the spring, we saw how many games they'll be playing up front. These guys are moving constantly, and you have to have some athleticism to do that. When you've got a guy 6 feet, 260 pounds, I can't just bull rush every time. But I think he has the perfect coach in Dante Carter, who's coached everyone from 6'6" guys to 5'11" guys. And him being a shorter guy himself, I went back and watched his film from college. And they're like, I mean, he was basically maybe one step away, maybe one step faster or an inch or two taller from being a major problem in college football. And he did really well where he was. So I think he's a perfect teacher. He has the respect of a ton of NFL players. And who better to teach you how to be an undersized D tackle than to somebody who's done it as recently as he has?
Isaiah Alvarez is coming out from New Jersey. He's at Don Bosco Prep. So he's got at least the best coaching you can in that part of the country. Alvarez is bigger and probably won't run as fast in the 40 as Q, but just his versatility and being kind of a house call waiting to happen, it does remind me a little bit of Quentin Gibson. He's out there at receiver, running back, punt returner, kick returner, made a lot of big plays in each of those roles this past year. This is what's crazy to me. Dukes, he took 17 unofficial visits between mid-football season and April 18th this year. That's being very proactive.
I mean, I tell you what, it won't be for lack of effort if he makes if he doesn't make a great decision. Like, he literally put the time in, and that stuff costs money, man. That means that someone that cares a lot about him and wants to make an investment and make sure that he makes the best decision possible, because there are some kids who don't travel until, if they can't drive, they don't go to a school until it's an official. So I think that kind of says a lot about his family, and I'd be interested to see how they feel about Colorado on their official.
Yeah, he took an unofficial in the spring, got a chance to sit down one-on-one with Coach Prime. But yeah, and even after visiting the Buffs, he's now got official visits after that lined up with Michigan State, Rutgers, Penn State, and Nebraska. So, like you said, he's going to have all the information he needs. I would expect when that recruiting dead period ends, he's if he even takes all of his visits. And that's another thing we should mention is we're talking about these future visits. A lot of times they don't get to the end of those visits. And so if you're Colorado, you're not just, oh, we'll take our time. And no, they're going to try to get these guys in the boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Just from hearing some of their even in the transfer portal, when talking to different agents and talking to overhearing conversations between agents and Colorado's recruiting staff, there were some guys, hey, we want first. And there were some guys they would say we want to be last. So I think there is some strategy placed upon where they go with some of these guys. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see how some of that strategy plays out.
Bryson Hurt is coming out this weekend. He's a bulldozing interior offensive line prospect from Gainesville High in Georgia. Colorado's new tight ends coach knows a little bit about Gainesville High. He happened to have a 45-9 record in 4 seasons there, won a couple state championship. Ho ho. But he's got a good connection there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Josh, Coach Nibley is someone who's really respected in Georgia, when especially with families. He was getting people from all over the state to move to Gainesville, so I thought that was going to bode well for him. he's in a position coach. So some people may say, oh, well, he can't recruit that school, but he can because the rule says, the NCAA rule is set to say that you can recruit your old school if you're in an on-field position role. And a lot of times it's hard from high school coaches to transition to on the field. What they used to do was say, okay, you come working in recruiting office, we'll give you a $100,000 a year job, but we need to get this five-star. And it will be worth it. But now they got rid of that rule because, and that just goes to show you how much Coach Prime really values Coach Niblett, because it's not just about the players that he has, because, I mean, Coach Niblett is recruiting a few guys from Gainesville, but it's not like this mass exodus, oh, we got to go follow Coach Niblett. No, and they've got guys at Gainesville. And I think it's and I think it says a lot about Bryce, because he's a guy that Coach Niblett is like, yeah, we got to have this guy. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I'm really feeling the amount of interior and off and out and exterior offensive linemen that Colorado has coming in. It's like, it's not just we just need a tackle and we're good. No, we need to be good across the entire line. You have to restock the cupboard, so to speak. And I think this has the potential to be Colorado's largest. I would say, what's been the biggest number? Maybe 16, 17 in the Coach Prime era for high school recruits?
Yeah, I mean, the first underclassman day was crazy, but that's not official visits. Yeah, it's been the 12. 12 is higher a number than typical. They've usually had like five or six guys a weekend.
Yeah, and I'm speaking on how many guys have actually been in the class, like as far as from the high school ranks. I think last year was it like 16, 17 at the most. So this has the potential to be a large class, and it just kind of tells. And the amount of official visits lets you know where the focus is being. Like, they're kind of adjusting their focus, and I mean, there are a lot of pundits who say, "Hey, Colorado is the worst recruiting school in Power Four football." I think they're out to prove some people wrong.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Coach Box and Rashad Hall and that whole staff. They've been grinding. They've done a great job. And Johnny Mack has been out there grinding on the green trail, and Coach Carter. Like they've got a decent core group of recruiters out there right now. In terms of commitments, we don't do crystal balls on crystal ball predictions on the new network that BuffStampede.com is, but I have a pretty good feeling about Bryson Hurt potentially committing this weekend. He does have Georgia Tech, Rutgers, and Ole Miss there, so we'll see how that plays out. Another guy I know you're familiar with, Dukes, is Marquise Finnell. Plays running back and some running back for Valdosta High in Georgia. Valdosta owes Colorado a couple players because remember early in the primary they got a couple defensive linemen. Neither of them ended up making it to CU for unfortunate situations. But there, but well, what are your thoughts on Finnell?
Man, he's a highlight waiting to happen. A joy to watch. That town is based around football, traditional powerhouse in Georgia. That was a trip that anybody from the city dreaded making. If you made it far enough in the playoffs to go down to South Georgia, you didn't want to go there. It's set up like a college facility. It's basically Friday Night Lights, and he's the guy. You hear his name a million times when you go see the film. You can just see that people light up. He's not the biggest guy in the world, which means a lot to me, because for someone who's seen that you don't have to be the biggest or the strongest to be successful. He's a football player, and there's a level of explosion that may not look like track speed that he doesn't get caught from behind. And I think that's important, because it doesn't matter when you can line him up against a 4-3, but he's going to take every step. He has an innate ability to use whatever his top speed, and he's not slow by any means, but you can't tell if he's a 4-2 or a 4-4, because it don't matter who he's playing against, because he's playing against the top players in Georgia who have some 10-5 track times, 10-4, 10-3s, and he's still running away from people. Haven't
He
seen him do
gets a crease and he's gone.
it. It don't matter, bro. And then
Yeah.
too, he has some wiggle. Like if he break, like let's say he's in the Wildcat and he goes up the two hole. It's him one-on-one with a safety, and this can be a 4 or 5-star safety. He's already proven this. That safety doesn't have a chance in hell of catching him. It don't matter. He's going to give him a 1-2, and he's going whatever way that he sees green grass. So he's one of the more exciting players in the state. I think I just think about him in the go-go offense and what
Oh
Coach
man,
Barry
I was
will be
thinking
able to do with
that
him,
the
right?
entire time I was watching this film. It's like this is the perfect player for this offense.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Now just imagine him as the far back. If they go in, let's say they go shotgun far, where the fullback and the tailback, or the one and the two back, are lined up on the same plane with the quarterback. If he's the far guy and you're putting him in exact relationship with the linebacker, that's a nightmare. Especially when you can either say, all right, you know what, we're going to run counter, or we're going to throw him to the flat. He's the type of guy that keeps you up at night in that offense and that exact situation. So, yeah, man, if you pull him out of Georgia, I know this player never really panned out, but there was a buzz about him in Georgia like there was about Cam Michael. Cam Michael had a huge buzz in Georgia coming out of high school. Injuries held him back, and then numbers and things just kind of held him back. But this kid has the same type of buzz where we hear about him in Atlanta. And for those that don't know, Valdosta is about almost 3 hours away. Valdosta is closer to Florida State, which is another team that's pressing hard for Fennell. Florida State, Cam, and he reminds me of their running backs coach, which is Cam Martin, who came from Auburn. But on those really good Auburn teams, he was a speed back, wasn't the biggest guy, but you know. He once he got the ball on the perimeter, it was over with, just like Fennell. So that's a team that I will watch there, Cam Martin, the Florida State. But outside of that, man, I think he's the perfect fit for a team like Colorado.
Stanford's making a strong push for him as well. I know there's other schools involved, but it does seem like Colorado, Florida State, and Stanford for him right now. So we'll see how his recruitment transforms here. One more guy to talk about, Will Rasmussen, plays corner for Orem High in Utah. Position versatility, not afraid to come up and make physical tackles. He actually stood out at a camp where CU was at. So he's the lowest rated on this, but if you watch his film, he's better than where he stands in the ranking. So
Okay.
he can play nickel, corner, safety. So versatile guy there. So he's, you would say, more of an under radar guy coming out this weekend. I mean, this group in general, though, you're going to take any of these kids if they want to commit this weekend.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to put an over under on it, but I do think I think you do see the Buffalo logo wave in the sky a time or two this weekend. But the amount of the premium being placed on the lines, the interior line, offense and defensive, man, that's what excites me, because you gotta that's what Texas Tech did to get out of here. They made sure Texas Tech right now has separated themselves from the Big 12 when it comes to their roster, and they did it with the offensive and the defensive lines. That's what Colorado wants to do. So as long as they continue, like, we can, you're gonna have a ton of skill players. You'll be good because you got a great offensive mind. But if you can get the trenches right, I think that's what'll set Colorado apart. And really, when Colorado was good, we talk about Shador, we talk about Travis Hunter. But that year, that defensive line kept them in so many games. And if they and I'm not sure what happened when it came to giving up so many rushing yards against in some of those losses, but in nine t there were nine times in that season where the defensive line was one of the best in the country. If they can kind of relive some of those vibes by getting these type of players here and developing them, then I think it'll go a long way for Colorado getting back to where they want to be.
Yeah, this is going to be a big weekend. There's going to be three more of them coming up in terms of big official visit weekends. So we'll keep on top of it. Again, this stuff is kind of fluid, so we'll keep tabs on it. Dukes, I don't know if there's a better going to be a better breakdown. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be a better breakdown of this weekend than what we just did there.
Hey man, I appreciate it, man. Gotta give you a shout out, dog, man. And for those that don't know, man, Adam just had a lot going on, man. But to see him literally balling the way he is right now, this is what we call hooping in our world, where you got a podcaster, or you got, you know, somebody, a writer, you got, you know, a publisher like himself that's doing every facet of the game. He's like the triple threat right now. He can do everything in the industry, man. So for you to go through what you've been through and to come out here and ball the way you've been balling, you're an inspiration, man. And thank you for having me.
I appreciate it, Dukes. Yeah, I mean, coming out of ICU and just the support that I got from not only just my family, but Buff Nation in general.
Yeah.
Like at times we can kind of be a dysfunctional family, but yeah, we shoulder to shoulder is a real thing, and
For
folks
sure.
really stepped up, and gosh, so grateful. And Duke Sweet, I think we've collaborated about half a dozen times. It's been fantastic every time. I love doing it.
Man, I tell you what, man, I don't know. I'm gonna make. I might got a phone call I need to make after this one, man. I might get on the phone. Maybe we can do it a little more often, man.
Sounds good.
Okay, bro.
Phillip Dukes, Adam Monster Tiger, we just broke down Colorado's first big official visit weekend. Hopefully we can do that again for the next one. Dukes, appreciate you.
I
And I
see you, man.
appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.